The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Cadster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll begin today's program with an article from Cadster.com in their Cats and Science section titled The Fascinating Facts Behind Cat Colors by Susan Logan McCracken. Modifying genes means endless possibilities for cat colors and patterns, from tabby cats to pointed patterns to tricolors like calicos. Let's learn more. Cat colors, patterns, and fur length are a cat's calling card. We include these characteristics when referring to specific types of felines. For example, we would call fictional cat Garfield a red tabby exotic short hair. Note the pattern, color, breed, and coat length in the name. The Cat Fancy, or the Community of Feline Enthusiasts, cat show judges, breed registries, breeders, and others who study and adore felines, gave us these designations to make it easier to identify cats. This may seem hard to believe, but cat colors basically include black, red, white, or some combination, dilution, or mixture of these. It almost doesn't seem fair when birds get 15 vivid colors like pink, green, blue, yellow, and purple. Birds derive their brilliant coloring because of the chemical structure of their feathers and amino acid modifiers, which is different from that of a cat coat texture, where pigmentation is based on melanin types, says Joan Miller of the Cat Fanciers Association's Outreach and Education Chair, a renowned cat expert. Cat colors. What coat colors can cats have? Basically, when it comes to cat colors, cats are black unless they have inherited the sex-linked orange masking gene, in which case they are red, Miller explains. By red, we mean what is commonly called orange. The hundreds of colors and patterns displayed in domestic cat coats come about because of modifying factors that include both genes and polygenes, which change these basic two colors, she says. Given an example of the dilute gene, which changes black to blue, commonly called gray, and red to cream. Polygenes, genes that require multiple others of their kind for their effects to be observable, then determine whether the coat color tone will be a dark steel gray blue or a pale powder blue, she explains. These inherited polygenes are controlled through selective breeding and pedigreed breeds. If you've studied cats for very long, you probably know that calico and tortoiseshell cats, those with both black and red coat colors, are female. That's because the orange gene is carried on in the sex-linked X chromosome. Because males are XY with only one X chromosome, they can only be black or red, or the variations of each due to modifying factors. Since females are XX, they can be both black and red. This is how we obtain the flashy tortoiseshell-colored females who have black coats with splashes of red. The dilute factor is inherited, the female cat will be a blue cream. Should a cat also inherit the piebald white spotting factor, this female can be a tortie and white bicolor, or a calico tricolor cat with large black and red areas on a white coat, Miller says. Piebalds are spots or patches that are absent of pigmentation or white. The tabby pattern. When it comes to cat colors and coat patterns, here's a mind-blowing fact. All cats are tabbies. Whether they show their tabby pattern or not depends on whether the cat has inherited the dominant agouti gene or the recessive non-agouti solid color gene, she explains. However, even solid-colored red cats will show tabby pattern because the sex-linked chromosome is not affected by the non-agouti gene. Solid-colored kittens will sometimes show their underlying tabby pattern when young, before their kitten coat sheds and the adult coat grows in. Also, when an adult cat with a solid coat lies in bright sunlight, their underlying tabby pattern can often be faintly seen. The tabby pattern includes the characteristic M marking on their foreheads and four basic types. Classic tabbies, also called blotch tabbies, have a combination of stripes, swirls, blotches, and what looks like a bullseye on the sides of their bodies. Ticked tabbies have branding on each hair shaft with a lighter color at the base, which creates an iridescent speckled appearance but without stripes on the body. Abyssinians and Somalis are these types of tabbies. Mackerel tabbies have vertical continuous stripes on both sides of their bodies and a dark spine line extending from shoulders to tail. Spotted tabbies are just that. The size of the spots and the spacing between them vary. Ossicats have large thumbprint spots. Egyptian mouse have a high contrast, randomly placed spots of varied shapes and sizes, and Bengals have rosette spotting, according to Miller. But random bred cats will often have broken mackerel or classic striping, giving a spotted appearance. There's also a pattern called patch tabby. These are female cats with any of the four tabby patterns, but that also show additional red-colored patches due to their inherited sex-linked orange cheek, Miller explains. Cat colors and cat personalities. The University of California, Davis surveyed 1,200 cat guardians in 2015 and published the results in the Journal of Applied Animal Welfare Science. The respondents were asked to choose a color category that best represented their cat and to answer questions about their cat's behaviors. Results seem to confirm a reputation that calicos and torties are feisty and unpredictable. In another survey, researchers from the University of California, Berkeley, and the California State University, East Bay, asked 189 cat guardians to assign the terms active, aloof, bold, calm, friendly, intolerant, shy, stubborn, tolerant, and trainable to cats of five different colors: red, tricolored, white, black, and bicolored. The results showed that the respondents were more likely to attribute friendliness to orange cats, intolerance to tricolored cats, and aloofness to white cats. Keep in mind that these were surveys of human perceptions, not scientific studies that controlled for other possible personality influencers, such as gender and coat length. Calicos and torties are female, which might play a greater role in personality than coat color. Long-haired cats are generally believed to be docile, while short-haired cats are purported to be energetic. I have two red tabby domestic long-haired cats who came from the same litter. Some of my friends can't tell them apart, and one cat could work as a stunt double for the other. When it comes to personalities, the two couldn't be more opposite. One greets everyone who comes to our house, the other has enough love only for me and my husband. More studies are needed before we can conclude that cat colors influence personality. Cat eye colors. Another cool point to consider when it comes to cat colors, cat eye colors. All kittens are born with blue eyes. At about 6 to 8 weeks of age, their potential final eye color begins to become apparent, Miller says. Full brilliance is not achieved until a cat reaches maturity. Full maturity can take 1 to 2 years, depending on the cat breed. There are only three basic eye colors, Miller says. However, eye color of domestic cats is striking and greatly varied. Interestingly, the brilliant copper eye color of the Persian, the deep gold eyes of the Abyssinian or Bombay, and the emerald green eyes of the Russian blue are all derived from the same gene. It is through years of selective breeding that this extreme eye color spectrum has been perfected in the breeds. Random bred eyes usually have greenish, gold, or hazel eye color. However, a colony of free-roaming cats resulting from natural line breeding will often develop golden or lemon-yellow eye color. Some cat eye colors are linked to coat colors or patterns. For example, white cats can have blue, yellow, gold, or odd eyes. Any cats that have inherited the piebald spotting factor can have odd eye color, one blue eye and one golden, yellow, or greenish eye, Miller says. Cats with the point-restricted pattern, like the Siamese, have blue eyes because of a gene that is linked to albinism. Tonkinese often have aqua eyes. Tonkinese showing the deeper Burmese coat, sable, blue, champagne, or platinum, will have gold or green eye color. This article was cut for time. Next, we'll move on to a seasonal story, Cats and Christmas Trees, 10 Ways to Maximize Safety and Minimize Mayhem, by Angie Bailey. With cats and Christmas trees, there are many ways that chaos and even danger can ensue. Learn how cats and Christmas trees can safely coexist. Ah, the holidays, the cheerful carols, endless plates of festive cookies, and brightly colored packages underneath the Christmas tree. Ah, right, there's the tree. Those of us who share our homes with felines know the tree is not just the tree. It's a giant scratching post with branches for climbing, a water bowl, and an endless supply of dangling toys. In other words, some cats see a Christmas tree as the ultimate cat toy. Look what Santa brought me. The trouble with Christmas trees is that they present some serious threats to our kitties. Here are a few suggestions for keeping your holly jolly Christmas safe and fun for both two and four-legged family members. 1. Act as if your Christmas tree is no big deal. Cats are naturally curious, so bringing a tree into your home won't go unnoticed. Before adding all the fun, dangly objects, why not let it stand au naturel for a day or two? Once the newness wears off, your kitty may not be so inclined to do some holiday swatting. 2. Make your Christmas tree unappealing to your cat. It's fairly safe to assume that Kitty probably won't want to relive an unpleasant experience. She has a penchant for biting pine needles or chewing branches. You may want to try a bitter spray, found at most pet stores and online, as a deterrent. Needles, if ingested, can cause dangerous and sometimes deadly intestinal blockages. Although live trees more easily shed their needles, the ones from artificial trees can prove just as bad. Another way to keep Kitty away from the tree is to place foil or double-sided tape on top of the skirt. These are both textures that many cats avoid, and they could act as effective deterrents. 3. Don't give cats access to Christmas tree water. When it comes to cats and Christmas trees, some kitties are attracted to the water reservoir of live trees. They think it's a watering hole placed there especially for them. The trouble is, the water could contain additives and fertilizer, which can be toxic to cats. Even if the tree is fertilizer-free, harmful bacteria might grow in the reservoir. Foil to the rescue again. As a safeguard, wrap a sheet of foil around open areas of the container. 4. Cut down on some of the dangers by choosing a Christmas tree that's artificial. There's no temptation with Christmas tree water when you have an artificial tree. Although live trees more easily shed their needles, the ones from artificial trees can prove just as dangerous, as do the lights and ornaments that adorn both. Additionally, most modern Christmas trees are made of polyvinyl chloride, PVC, which is toxic to animals and humans alike. 5. Stop your cat from knocking the Christmas tree over. Kittens and cats with wild spirits have been known to take down entire Christmas trees. If your cat manages to topple your tree, or simply as a preventative measure, consider tethering the tree to the wall or the ceiling. It may seem like a drastic move, but it will keep your tree vertical. 6. Avoid mishaps with cats and Christmas tree lights. To avoid electrocution, always unplug your tree lights when you go to bed or while you're away from home. Sharp kitty teeth and live electrical cords do not mix. If your cat is a chronic cord chewer, skip the lights altogether. 7. Nix the use of tinsel. Many of us grew up draping tinsel from the branches of our holiday trees. Tinsel, or angel hair, is a major hazard when it comes to cats and Christmas trees, since it may cause fatal intestinal obstructions. Leave it off your decoration to-dos. 8. Cat-proof your Christmas tree ornaments. Hang your heirloom ornaments at the top of the tree and keep the sturdier ones toward the bottom, or simply avoid hanging anything on the lower tree branches. If your kitty manages to knock a breakable bauble onto the floor, she could wind up eating or stepping on the broken pieces. Why not simply avoid this potential danger? 9. Provide your cat with a distraction from the Christmas tree. If your kitty is truly crazy for the Christmas tree, simple distractions could be an easy solution. Save special toys for the holidays or even introduce a few new boxes. We hear cats have a thing for boxes. Daniel Quagliosi, cat behavior consultant at Go Cat Go, says, "The basic point is surrender to the fact that you have brought in something any cat would be excited about, and adjust accordingly or redirect your cat into more compelling activities like food puzzles." And number 10, make your Christmas tree difficult for your cats to reach. You may find yourself building a barricade around the tree, Les Mis style, except with baby gates. This may or may not keep your cat away from the target. You know your cat better than anyone else, so build away if that feels like an appropriate solution. Kitty is completely determined to get her paws on the tree. Bypassing all foil sheets and barricades, perhaps a door needs to stand between the cat and the tree. Maybe it's time to skip a tree and hang a wreath on the front door instead. Now we'll move on to the December and January issue of Dogster magazine with another holiday-themed article. Pancreatitis and Other Holiday Health Humbugs by Heather Marco. Try these tips and fixes for those less than jolly health gifts the holidays serve up. The holidays are a time of celebration, enthusiastic gift giving, and if we're being honest, overindulgence for many humans. Because we love our dogs, it's totally natural to want to include them in our festivities, but making too merry can make a dog sick. According to Embrace Pet Insurance, the holidays coincide with an annual increase of claims for pancreatitis, gastroenteritis, and intoxication, just to name a few. If you want your dog to be in good shape for the new year, keep your holiday celebration canine-friendly by following these tips and fixes. 1. Keep human food to yourself. Flames dancing in the hearth may put you in the holiday spirit, but an inflamed pancreas, also known as pancreatitis, will put your dog in pain and danger. Symptoms include decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, and lethargy. The really sad part is humans are a major cause of pancreatitis around the holidays. Everybody wants to make their dog happy at the holidays, and so they want to feed them something, and oftentimes it comes from the dinner table. It's too rich, and it gives them an upset tummy or pancreatitis sometimes, explains Dr. Gwen Jun, the current president of the Ontario Veterinary Medical Association. Tip: Dr. Jun says the best holiday feast for a dog is whatever dog food they usually eat. While human food like cheese or turkey skin are often the cause of an episode of pancreatitis, even a switch from one dog food to another can be problematic, Dr. Jun says. She recalls one Boxing Day she spent with a dog whose Christmas presents included a doggy turkey dinner in a can that ended coming up with a side of pancreatitis. Luckily, Dr. Jun helped the dog make it through, and the story also lives on as a reminder that switching up the canine menu isn't the gift we humans imagine it to be. Fix. If your dog does get pancreatitis, what do you do? If your dog is panting, shaking, reluctant to eat, vomiting, or experiencing diarrhea, don't let anyone offer more table scraps or even dog food. Get your pooch to the veterinarian as soon as you can. The veterinarian can tell you if it's pancreatitis or something else and provide medications for vomiting and pain, plus intravenous fluids if necessary. 2. Watch the table, the turkey, and the trash. Of course, the increase in pancreatitis cases over the holiday season isn't just due to what we humans are feeding our dogs, but also what they feed themselves if given the chance. And they do have so many tempting chances at this time of the year. We certainly see a lot of dietary indiscretion around the holidays, says Jen Kasten, DVM, who serves as the technical services veterinarian for Tomlin Veterinary Science. Sometimes it's dogs raiding the garbage or cleaning up food dropped at the dinner table, she says. Other times people will carve the turkey and then walk away and the dog thinks, oh, that's a tasty snack up on the counter, let me go grab it. Dr. Kasten explains, noting that in either case, the ingestion of bones can lead to medical emergencies, like a gastrointestinal obstruction. If a bone is causing a blockage in the dog's body, symptoms can include vomiting, diarrhea, and a lack of appetite. Sometimes dogs experiencing gastrointestinal obstructions do require surgery to get the bone out. Last year, Embrace Pet Insurance received $33,000 worth of claims due to dogs ingesting foreign bodies. Tip: if you know your pooch likely can't resist the temptation of a carved turkey, keep him out of the kitchen or away from the dining room while the bird is on the platter. A dog gate might be your best bet if your thresholds allow for one. If you got more of an open floor plan, you may want to put your pooch in another room or have adult family members taking turns watching him closely and keeping him entertained. Similarly, make sure gifts containing food like boxes of fancy chocolates aren't wrapped and placed under the tree or left in stockings. Store them someplace high and out of your dog's reach until Christmas morning, and don't leave them out until after wrapping. Fix: if your dog does sneak into something he wasn't supposed to, don't panic. Call your vet or the closest emergency vet to find out what action you need to take and if you should take him in. 3. Avoid gifting bones. Both Dr. Kasten and Dr. Jun says it's not just the bones in the garbage bag, but bones in gifts bags, too. A dog lover should be mindful of. The vet suggests humans avoid giving bones as gifts to their dog or loved ones' dogs, as sometimes the $5 bone or antler Aunt Sarah left under the tree for Spot can lead to cracked teeth and a big dental bill. And, of course, that can cause those blockages mentioned earlier. Tip: Dr. Jun suggests for young dogs a pair of winter booties that can be trained to wear in the snow might be a better gift, and that a soft new dog bed is always jolly good for dogs of any age. Fixes: if you see the following behaviors in your pup, it's time to head to the vet. The first sign of a cracked tooth is often a yelp or cry when your dog is busy with his bone. You might see some bleeding, too. If you don't notice these signs right away, your dog might start avoiding his food or chewing with only one side of his mouth. Depending on the severity of the crack, you may be referred to a veterinary dentist. 4. Deal with stress. The holidays can be stressful for humans, and because they have even less control over the chaos than we do, this time of year can be even more trying for pets. Stress can lead to colitis, the most obvious symptom of which is diarrhea, gastroenteritis, and exacerbate other health issues. So taking steps to reduce interruptions to your dog's routine should remain a top priority during the hustle and bustle of the holiday season. Tip: keep the walk routine as stable as the menu, and make sure your pup has a safe place to go if you're going to be having guests in and out of the house. For dogs who need a little extra help chilling out, Dr. Kasten recommends dog treats with tryptophan and ginger. Fixes: to reduce your dog's holiday stress, start with reducing your own. According to Jill Breitner, author of the Dog Decoder smartphone app, it's not as much the addition of indoor trees and decorations that stress our dogs out at home during the holidays, but how the humans are feeling and how we're interacting with each other. Anytime there's an environmental change, dogs will respond, Jill tells Dogster. What happens over the holidays is people are stressed. Being around humans who are arguing with each other can stress a dog out and can even lead to physical symptoms. Behavioral changes in your dog can be the first sign that something's wrong. Just hiding behind the couch and kind of peering out with some facial tension with their ears back and down and panting might be a sign of pain, Jill explains. If your dog does not do well with company, but you're planning to have people over, Jill suggests getting your pooch ready for the big day a couple days in advance by introducing him to the room he may stay in by himself during the festivities. She cautions against leaving the dog alone in a separate room if he's not used to it. That can actually cause stress. But says for some dogs who've had the opportunity to get accustomed to it, being away from a large family gathering in their own safe space is preferable. And finally, number 5, keep them engaged. Our dogs don't need a wedge of Brie to know that we love them, but they may need a little extra attention during the holidays, especially as our attention gets spread thin. Jill suggests making sure we exercise our dogs before any big holiday events, whether they'll be attending or not. Tip: if you're going to have a late night at a holiday party, make sure your dog is going to be comfortable before you go. Set up an automatic feeder to serve his food, and if you think you'll be getting home late, have a pet sitter or dog walker swing by to check in on your pup. Fix: if your dog seems bored or depressed, it may be a sign that his routine has been sent out of whack by your holiday plans. Try to schedule as many walks and outings over the holidays as you do on any regular day to make sure that your dog gets the exercise and attention he's used to. Taking a stroll around the neighborhood to check out the light displays or bringing your dog outside to make a snowman are great ways to include your dog in holiday activities. If your pup hasn't had much of your time as he normally would lately, consider a doggy date night and snuggle up on the couch in front of a festive film. Just don't share the salted buttered popcorn. Next, we'll move on to an article, Why Do Dogs, by Melvin Pena, Get the Zoomies? My dog Baby is a blue tick coonhound mix, and while she's nearly 5 years old, she's lost none of her puppy energy. Several times a week, we go for a 3-mile hike. I may be worn out by the time we get home, but that's exactly the moment she wants to start wrestling or roughhousing. When I refuse, she'll either flop around on the ground or do a series of wind sprints around the yard. Dog owners know these abrupt physical responses as frapping or getting a case of the zoomies. I can tell you that frapping has nothing to do with the blended coffee drinks, and zoomies are not drugs from the 1960s science fiction. So what are they? What is frapping? Does your dog seem to go crazy after a walk or a bath, both of which certainly apply to Baby, or run around the house without warning? Congratulations, you're living with a frapper. Canine behavioral experts probably felt a bit silly saying zoomies, so around the year 2000, the acronym FRAP started popping up. It stands for Frenetic Random Activity Period. Frapping is not a scientific term, nor is it a particularly accurate. If a dog reliably dashes around after bathing or exercise, there's nothing random about it. No matter what you call it, why does it happen? Why do dogs get the zoomies? Let's take the most common scenarios and work through them together. Why do dogs run around the house? The average dog sleeps 12 to 14 hours a day, which most of us will agree sounds awesome. The rest of the time, dogs are creatures of curiosity and movement. We train them to submit and to abide by every kind of restrictive boundary, ranging in square footage from a crate in the living room and all the way up to a fenced-in yard. No matter how much room we give them, a dog always wants more. Whether you call it zoomies or frapping, these bursts of energy are in part a response to confinement. We get frustrated when our dogs zip around the house and knock a valuable item onto the floor. But imagine how dogs feel being unable to truly stretch their legs. Why do dogs run wild after a bath? Bathing needs vary by dog, but conventional wisdom tells us that dogs should get a bath once every 4 to 6 weeks. Baby enjoys a bath about as well as being confined. She tolerates it. Dogs' natural grooming habits condition their skin and help distribute healthy skin oils. We've all been caught in a storm without an umbrella and felt weighed down by wet clothes. Bathing is a similar experience for dogs, combined with the unusual scents of soaps and shampoos. Dogs roll on the ground or run wild after a bath as a reaction to physical discomfort. Why do dogs go crazy after a walk? We started with Baby wanting to wrestle or run at the end of our normal hike together. No matter how fast we walk our dogs, we never match their energy or speed. like living indoors or being bathed. The pace we move is as unnatural and strange for any but the smallest dog. A dog that gets the zoomies or starts frapping as soon as you get home is expressing frustration. Baby knows our hiking route so well, she now fraps in anticipation. The second she realizes we're headed home, she'll flop over and refuse to move at all. Random acts of predictability. Random might be a part of frap, but the conditions that inspire frapping in dogs are entirely predictable. Even the best-trained dogs may have a period of frenetic activity on occasion. The collection of porcelain figurines you inherited from your grandmother loses a member every time your dog has a bath. It's not your dog's fault. Now we'll move on to WAGs, good dogs, good people, good things. This month's article is Mercury and Sirius, Best Buds, by Audrey Pavia. As far back as ancient Rome, dogs were used to guard farm animals from wolves and other predators. Centuries later, the descendants of those dogs are still hard at work. Called the Maremma sheepdog, this Italian livestock guardian breed is particularly good at taking care of sheep and goats. Here in the U.S., Maremmas care for another small animal that needs protection, the miniature horse. Gentle Carousel Miniature Therapy Horses is a miniature horse farm and training facility where tiny horses protected by Maremmas are taught to become therapy horses. Teams of specially trained minis travel around the country visiting more than 25,000 adults and children each year at hospitals and hospice centers. They also provide comfort to families, veterans, and first responders who have experienced traumatic events. These diminutive equines have been called in to help survivors and first responders immediately after the mass shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary in Newtown, Connecticut, and the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and the Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida. They've also comforted victims of tornadoes, child trafficking, fires, and hurricanes. When these special horses are home on their 15-acre farm in Gainesville, Florida, they are watched over by two adult and three young Maremmas, all of whom protect small horses from coyotes and loose dogs. One of those young Maremmas, a puppy named Sirius, has become quite close to a colt named Mercury. Our Maremmas are very devoted to the herd of therapy horses, but Mercury and Sirius have an unusual relationship and are very bonded with each other, says Gentle Carousel Education Director Debbie Garcia Bengochea. Sirius and Mercury became instant friends, maybe because they were both babies at the same time, or maybe it was because Mercury's mom was very comfortable with Maremmas and didn't mind Sirius spending time with her foal. They started playing together, and when they got tired, sleeping together. Now whenever Mercury comes inside the farmhouse, Sirius is not far behind. The pair is learning how to walk up and down steps together, ride in a truck around the farm, and to walk and stand on a lead. When Mercury travels for a hospital training with his mother, Sirius waits on the farmhouse porch for him to return. The best part of their friendship is that they will be able to maintain it for the rest of their lives. They will always be able to live down the farm together, Debbie says. They will remain forever friends. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is rarely available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time, if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.